So we're speaking today about people in the category of chusrei kapara. We'll speak about what that is, like who is that and what exactly is going on. The Rambam even has halachas, dafka, about these people. And then we'll speak about a little lumdus in general about why such people are bringing karbanos and what exactly is going on. So let's get a little bit of background information. Once we have our background information, we'll definitely be in a better place to start talking about things with greater detail. So the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Krisos on Ches Amud Beis that there are arba mechusrei kapara. There are four people who are in the category of mechusrei kapara. Now, the way that you would probably translate mechusrei kapara is probably, we'll see, not as precise as we would like, but there are four people that have to bring karbanos. And they are in a particular category. Who are these four people, and what can they not do? They are a zav, a zava, a yoledes, and a mitzora. These are four people that until they bring karbanos, in particular, probably their karban chatas, these people are not allowed to eat kachim or to go into the Beis HaMikdash. So a zav is a man that has some sort of a liquid that's associated with a certain kind of sickness, like a shichva zera, like a keri, but it's more of like a sickness that comes out. Zava is a woman who bleeds. It's the same blood that she bleeds, which makes her a nida, but a nida is when a woman bleeds at more or less an expected time. A zava is when women bleed at unexpected times. They become a zava. Machlokes and Rishonim, a very famous Yisra Rambam, what exactly the difference is, when nida, when zava. But a zava or a zava, those are people that become tame. Similarly, a yoledes, a woman who gives birth. And a mitzora, people that had saras. So all of those four people are people that become tame. As part of their tuma, they're not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. As part of their tumah, they are they're also not allowed to eat kachim. And they go through a process of tahara. They go through a process to become pure. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Mechusrei Kapara, the Rambam tells us as follows. It's in Perek Aleph Halachas Gimel Tehei. Says the Rambam, Azav and Azava have to bring two shtei torim or shnei bnei yona, echad olav, echad v'echad chatas. Let me share the screen so you could see it as well. They have to bring two karbanos. Similarly, a mitzora brings three karbanos, an ola, an asham, and a chatas. We'll see like this in a bit. These people, what happens is as follows. Hazava v'hamitzora. They bring all of these karbanos on the eighth day of their tahara process. So they wait 7 days of being pure. They then go to the mikvah on the seventh day. They wait until nightfall on the seventh night. The eighth day in the morning, zava, and mitzora, once they become pure enough, their last stage is to bring this karban. The yoledes, similarly, a yoledes, a woman that gives birth, becomes tame. If she gives birth to a male child, she's tame for 40 days. If she gives birth, I'll have to pin 1 second why. If she gives birth on the to a nekeva, to a girl, it's 80 days that she becomes tamea. After she's waited that process, so the next day in the morning, 41 or 81, she goes along and she brings her karbanos, and then she is allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. She is allowed to eat kachem. Avi, the reason why we wait for the sunfall is because it's called Tevul Yom, that when a person goes to the mikvah, they don't always become entirely pure. Sometimes they have to wait until nightfall to achieve an additional level of purity. These karbanos are somewhat unique. The Rambam writes, based on the Gemara, the Rambam writes in Mechusrei Kapara there in Perek Hay, that even though Kvar bi'arnu b'maisa karbanos, shekol mechuvei karb, mechuyavei karban, ein makriven al yadon el midait, and then in general, if I'm chayv a karban, I have to know that a carbon is being offered on my behalf. You could separate a carbon for me, but I have to be aware of it. Chutz mi mechus rei kapara she'ein tzrichen das bailem. So other maybe carbon al banav ubenos vaktanim hay mechus rei kapara machilim bezvachem. I'm allowed even if my child is chayav a carbon. My kid became a zav. My kid became a mitzora. Even though kids have no da'as, and therefore most karbanos, you can't offer, you know, on behalf of a child, you would be able to offer a karban in this particular case, even though they have no da'as, even if a person has no idea a karban is being offered, you're still able to bring mechusrei kapara. You're still able to bring mechusrei kapara. Okay. That's a little bit of background. We're speaking about the karbanos of Izav, Zava, Mitzora, and Yoledes, people that became impure. They have to bring karbanos, and their karbanos allow them to eat kachin. There is a machlokas in the Mishnah, whether, this we referenced a while ago, that it used to be when a person would convert, a ger would have to bring, not just, but he had to do brismila or tevila. His man, brismila, tevila, kabbalah, all mitzvos, he'd even have to bring a karban. The Gemara has a machlokas, maybe that should be on the list also. Because only when the ger brings a karban, also he's allowed to do some of these things. The Gemara speaks about, what about a nazir? Should a nazir sort of be in this category also, that when he gets to bring karbanos, he's also allowed to eat kachin? No, those are all discussions. But our four main categories of mechusrei, kapara, so this is it. These are Zav, Zava, Mitzora, Yoledes. These are people that became impure. The Mitzora is impure, has to be alone, certain dinim of its own dinim of Tama. Zav and Zava, Yoledes, they all have impurity. They undergo like a complex process to achieve purity. They're waiting 7 days. In the case of Yoledes, 40 or 80 days. And then once they've already done what most of what they have to do, and they've gone to the mikvah, and they've waited for nightfall, the next morning they wake up, and they're able to bring these karbanos. They're able to bring these karbanos, when they offer these karbanos, then they are good to go, they are allowed to eat kachem. They're allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. That is a little bit of general background, what the mechusrei kapara really are. Clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Now we get a fascinating question, and the question we're going to see is going to, in a certain sense, be very fundamental, and one which is very sodistic also. Let me begin by the following observation. On the one hand, these people are called mechusrei kapara, and if they're called mechusrei kapara, it would seem like they violated a particular sin, and as a result of their sin, they have to bring these karbanos for kapara. They have to bring these karbanos for kapara. Nevertheless, it's clear in Rishonim that's not really true. If you look at Rashi in Krisos on Ches Amid Beis, Rashi is mefurash. These karbanos are brought, mivim chatas, v'lo al chet, ela lechol bikachim. The reason why you're offering it is not because of a sin, but rather so that you could eat kachem. The Shita Mekubetzes here in Krisos even goes further and quotes Tosfos as saying, Mechusrei kapara, the whole term is lav dafka. What it means is that they're mechusrei karban. Here are people that have to bring a karban to be able to eat kachem. The question is why? What does the karban exactly do? The karban seems to be on some level a matir. It permits you to eat kachin. We're not exactly sure what exactly it does, and that's going to be a little bit of a question mark. In order to understand why you're bringing the karban and what the karban may do, we're going to see that in general there are probably or potentially two dinim in why mechusrei kapara bring a karban. Within the first din, there'll be a lot of action. In the second din, a little bit less. What do you mean, David, as far as can it work for that?
So you say 2 days ago, the whole point, just the point is just to bring the carbon?
Yeah.
So can this carbon count?
I don't think so, although it's a fair point. I don't think so. I mean, they need this in order to be able to then sort of, like, make that step. Okay. So we start with the following. The Rambam in Hilchos Mechilshei Kapara says something very important. There may be a Tovos Yontif in Rosh Hashanah, in the 10th parak of Nida, where maybe a little bit differently than Tovos Yontif, but the Rambam here says as follows. And you know what? Sorry, one more point before we just even start. There is a machlokas, and this is why we're talking about them all together, between in the Moni HaMitvos, and say for a mitzvah, we know that there are 613 mitzvos, and we showed them debate how to count the mitzvos. The Rambam counts the four Mechusrei Kapara as four separate mitzvos asay in the list of 613, as does, I believe, the Sefer Achinach. Four separate mitzvos. The Urayim, however, in source number five there, and it's in Tuf Mem Gimel, the Urayim counts them all as one mitzvah, all as one mitzvah. So maybe we'll have time to explain the Rambam a little bit later, but at least we are working off of the Urayim as a whole, or even the Rambam puts them all in the same halachas, looking at them as a unit. But it is possible that some of what we say may be different for Zav and Zava, Mitzora, Yoledas, but we're going to speak in generalities. Says the Rambam as follows, and here we're going to see the issue framed a little bit. Arban hein hanikre in mechusrei kapara. Hanikre in mechusrei kapara. Zava, Yoledas, Zav, Mitzora. Some of us already are probably a little bit intrigued by the fact that the Rambam did change the order from the Mishnah. He breaks up Zav and Zava. I would have thought you should bring them together. They're really very similar, but that's not at all for now. V'lama nikru mechusrei kapar. Why are they called mechusrei kapar? It says Rambam as follows. Shekol echad mehen. Afa pi shetayer mitum aso. Vitavo. V'herif shimsho. Adayin u chaser. V'lo gamra taharaso. K'deilecho b'kachem achayavi karbano. What the Rambam does in a certain sense is the Rambam tells us, understand that this Zav, Zava, Mitzora, and Yoledes are still somewhat Tame. They've undergone a lot of their process, but they're still somewhat Tame. If that is true, and this many Achronim point out is presumably a Dover Pashat, that if the Mechusrei Kapara seem to be somewhat Tame, and the Gemara is pretty clear in Zvachim, that's true, we'll see in a second, so then Lichora, what is part of the goal of bringing the Karban? This carbon achieves a purpose different than other carbonos. You're not bringing this carbon to get forgiveness for a sin. You are not bringing this carbon so you can have meat to eat for a dinner of shlamim, of simcha. You're not doing it for any of those kinds of, not achil basar taiva. This is one of the maisa hamitaher. The same way that a person goes to a mikvah, that's a way of purifying yourself. So these carbonos that you offer are a way of purifying yourself. They are part of what is metahir you. They're part of what is metahir you. However, or to say it more precisely, they are part of your tahara process. They're part of your tahara process. Part of the question we have to figure out is, what exactly does that mean? How tame am I really, and how much am I relying on this karban? So there is an amazingly interesting machlokas. The Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Gezayin has the following suffix. The Gemara says, are mechusrei kapara kizav dami or lav kizav dami? Are mechusrei kapara as tame that they're really like a zav, or are they not really as tame? They're lav kizav dami. The Rishonim there, Rashi and Tosfos, quoting Rabbeinu Chaim, seem to have a machlokas. What's the Gemara's real suffix? And the Brisker Rav there in Zvachim and Daf Yud Zayin speaks this out a little bit. What is sort of the real suffix of the Gemara? If you look at Rashi, Rashi seems to understand that the question is, do we give the Zav all Dine Tuma of a Zav? Is he like entirely like a Zav? Or is he like a little bit of a watered-down kind of a Zav? A little bit of a watered-down kind of a Zav. What's a nafka mina? So Rashi says what nafka mina would be, like what would be the halacha if he actually ate kachim? Would he be chayav kares or not chayav kares? So says Rashi, that's the Gemara suffix. If he's really like a Zav, his mom is really tameh, so just like a Zav who eats kachim becomes tameh. No, so Effie, the question is, Azav, who did everything but Mechusrei Kapara. Does he still have the status of a Zav? Or is it now like a more watered down status? Is he just as tame as he was before he waited 7 days, before he went to the mikvah, or not? Nafka Mina, says Rashi, if a regular Zav that eats kachim is chayiv kares. What about a mechusar kippurim? You were a Zav, you waited 7 days, you went to the mikvah, you waited for nightfall, and then you eat kachim. Are you also chayiv kares or not? Or not? It's pretty clear, according to Rashi, therefore, that the Mechusar Kippurim, at least within part of the Gemara, is really like a Zav still, as far as Tumah goes. Just like a full-blown Zav, who eats Karbanos is Chayiv Kares, so too a Mechusar Kippurim. This guy that was a Zav that waited the 7 days, and brought the Karban, and waited for nightfall, and brought, and did it bring, sorry, did it bring the Karban the next day. He's still like a Zav, he's still going to be Chayiv Kares. Clarity thus far? We'll clap 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chaim that says, no. The whole Shaila of Zav is Mechusar Kippurim. So you were a Zav, and you waited your 7 days, and you went to Mikvah, and you waited for nightfall. And now we say you're Mechusar Kippurim. And the Gemara wonders, are you still like a Zav or are you not like a Zav? So Reb Chaim seems to say as follows. It is pashat that you are not really considered to be, have full dine tahara, full dine tuma. There's no way you're really considered to be like a Zav. Once you've gone to the mikvah, you've waited 7 days, you are no longer considered to really be a mechusar kippurim, that you really like a Zav with all the same halachas. It's a more minor question. You're definitely watered down. The only question is right now, is your Tumah a very watered down form of Tumah's Zav? So we'll still apply a halacha here, a halacha there about Zav. Or at this point, are you no longer even called a Zav at all? You remove that Tumah entirely. You just have this really watered down thing called, like, we call you Tame. We call you Tame. But you have none of the halachas. You're not really a Zav at all. So essentially as follows. Mechusar Kippurim. You were a Zav, and you went to the mikvah. And now you're still somewhat Tame. It's the Rambam Torah. You're still somewhat Tame. But how Tame am I? How Tame am I? According to Rashi, you may really fully be Tame. You're still like a Zav. You never bring the Karban? Well, if you eat Kachim, you're Chayiv Kares. And according to Tosfos, not so fast at all. You've already removed a lot of your Tumah. Klisha Tumaso. Your Tumah's weaker, the Gemara says. The only question is, though, it's still not fully gotten rid of until you bring a Karban. Therefore, we'll pause a second for clarity. Says of Michal Feinstein. Michal Feinstein is the Brisker Rav's son-in-law. Wonderful Torah. But Michal Feinstein, his Shiurim and Zvachim, says, I think in light of Rashi and Tosfos, we could suggest that they understand, even though it is true, that the Karban is brought to complete the Tahara process, they argue about just what kind of a role it plays in your Tahara process. According to Rashi, you really are still Tameh with Tumas Zav fully in a certain sense, and therefore the carbon is really Mitahir ala Tumah. It's a critical part of the Tahara process. It's like mikvah. It's part of what transitions you from being fundamentally Tameh to Tahar. It really is Karban Zav Mitahir ala Tumah. This is part of what it does. It's Tevila and Karbanos that makes you good to go. But says Rav Michal Feinstein, I don't think that's pshat for Tosfos. I think pshat for Tosfos, Rabbeinu Chaim Korintov, is a little bit different, which is as follows. When a Zav goes to the mikvah, the Zav is really at that time, actually, fundamentally tahor. He's almost all the way there. He's not really like a Zav anymore. If he would eat kachim, he really wouldn't be chayiv karbanos anymore. he's really a kares anymore. He's almost all the way there. It's more that when he went to the mikvah, it's like he's entirely tahor. He just has an ikuv. There's one last thing he has to do to like cross the last thing at the end of the, you know, at the end. It's like, you know, we said the muscle before about driver's license, it's like with a passport. You know, like the last thing you got to do before the passport's really functional is sign your name under your picture. Many of us don't. You ever meet one of these guys at the border who's like a little bit, you know, woke up a little bit of a bad mood? He'll be like, sir, you didn't sign your passport. Is it that's like, you know, it, made, it's the last stage. Doesn't make a fine thing without my muscle. That is part of what the, when we say a carbon is brought to complete the Tara process. For Rashi, it's an integral part of the Tara process. If you haven't brought this, you're really still like a Zav for one day in the Gemara in a really intense way. According to Tosfos, no. For sure you're not really like a Zav. For sure you've already watered down your Tumah a lot. You're not that Tumah at all. It's just we need to bring this Karban. It's like the final step in helping you achieve a degree of Tara. Helping you achieve a degree of Tara. In that sense, again, for Ben Chaim, there are degrees of Tumah to Tara. You were fully Tameh. You waited 7 days. You went to the mikvah. It was mostly gotten rid of. There's one last thing that we need, and this is the one last thing. The one last thing that you need. You want to eat kachim, things like that. That's all that you need. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Hope this is okay. I don't know if this is too... How are we doing so far emotionally? We're okay? John, I said before, you're sitting in a very comfortable-looking chair, so I imagine that helps a lot, you know? Okay. If we just had this, so it's possible everyone agrees that the primary goal of these karbanos is to help you become tahor. It's different than other karbanos. Mechusrei kapara. The Sefer Gemara says from Tosfos, Rashi is a misnomer. There's no sin that you really did. You don't really need it for kapara at all. It's just something you need to complete your Tara process. The question is, are you really tummy fully? This is part of the real ikker part what makes you tower? Or is it just like the icing on the cake? It's the last thing which allows you to be able to eat kachem. Now, if Gamino, you know what the carbon is really doing. I want to make one quick point in brackets. If you get me, great. If not, it's really fine. There are some that get very nuanced as far as the kind of tumah you have. Reb Chaim did for Rambam. Maybe eating tumah, eating kachim, is different than going into the mikdash. One's chayv malchus, one's not chayv malchus. Maybe there's a difference between you have remnants of tumah in you, but you don't have a chalos shem tumah, or you have a chalos shem tumah, but no remnants of tumah. That's all what it is. Last name is Feinstein. A cousin of Moshe Feinstein. Interestingly enough, I believe. Maybe a nephew, even. An interesting fact for the YU people here. The Salvechik had a kollel or yeshiva in Boston, I think, in like the 1930s or something. Rav Michal Feinstein, I think, learned in that kollel a little bit, I think, in Boston. It's called Heichal Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi, something like that. I don't remember. I should be better at this. I'm sorry. Now, if you just had this, so you would say everyone agrees to it. What's the machlokas, you know, Rambam, Sefer Yerayim, 4 separate mitzvahs or 1 mitzvah? So it's all technical. The Sefer Yerayim says all the karbanos do the same thing, it's all 1 mitzvah. The Rambam says, well, you know, since technically you offer different karbanos when you're a mitzora than when you're a zav or things like that, so we count them separately for that reason. But it's not that fundamental machlokas. If you work under this mahalach, Yahavi. I don't think so, although you probably want to. I just don't know how you would. Okay, yeah, oh, very, very good. Yeah. Not bad. The more the tumah is different, the more the karbanos are asked to do different things. That's very nice. Okay. If you just had this mahalach, so maybe you would say, well, what about the following case? A woman gives birth. She has no interest in going to ever ikachim. She has no real interest in going to the Beis HaMikdash. Is she chayev or really not chayev to bring these karbanos? Or zav or zava? You know, it's like we point out sometimes, for 90% of Rishonim, there's no iser to be tameh. If you're tameh, that's fine. You just don't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash ever. There's no iser to be tameh. The only thing which there is a Gemara Rosh Hashanah, which is Chayiv Adam L'Tayr Atzma Berega. That before the Shalosh Regalim, you're going to be some Mikdash, you should be pure before that. But strictly speaking, it's the middle of the summer, there's no way to be Tamei at all, so she has to bring Karbanos or not. So what's interesting is that there is a Mahalach. The Brisker Rav has it in the Sefer on Rambam, in the Chibur, Halachos Mechos V'Kapara. Salvechik as well, in his Shiurim, on Meseches Krisos, the Rav has this Torah also. It's an amazing job, the Sefer on Krisos, the Shiurim Rav and Krisos. The Brisker Rav and Rambam is also an amazing job, but we may be more familiar with that. Where they suggest that, in fact, there are two dinim to Mechos V'Kapara. The first din we already mentioned, which is you bring these karbanos because it contributes to the tahara process. However, there may be an additional element of mechus rekapara, and that is that it's not a fancy idea, but there are many karbanos that just become ichiyav that the gavra has to bring certain karbanos. There are karbanos that you're chayav to bring, just like we said, maybe you're chayav to bring an olas re'iya. When you make it, you're chayav to bring a karban. You're chayev to bring everything in Mikdash, the tzibur is chayev to bring a carbon tamid, it's a chayev. There are certain karbanos that maybe it's not about kapara alone, and it's not about tahara. It's just a chayev that you have to bring certain karbanos. How would you prove that this yisod is true? How would you prove that there's a chayev on you above and beyond the, let me see if I can find it right there in the piece. Above and beyond the Maisa, which is Mitahir. So they try to prove it from certain Rambams in the beginning of Hilchos Mechusrei, beginning of Hilchos Mechusrei Kapara. What would be the halacha if you had a person that was chayef to bring lots of different Mechusrei Kapara karbanos? What would be the halacha if you brought one and not all of them? So for some Rishonim, it's pretty clear that if I brought one karban, that's enough for me to now become tahor, but I have to bring additional karbanos, because I have a chiyav for each birth that a woman has, she has a chiyav to bring these karbanos yoledas. So aside from the karban being brought to contribute to your process of tahara, aside from that, there is an additional sort of a level that you have to bring a karban, it's a chiyav on the gavra. The Torah imposes upon a Yoledas, the Torah imposes upon a Zav, a Zava and a Metorah, the Torah imposes upon them that they have to bring a karban because they are, that's just the din, the Gezeris HaKasav, the Torah imposed it upon them. What Chaz we saw this far, then we'll mention a third kind of a Mahalach. We saw thus far there are four kinds of people, Zav, Zava, Metorah, Yoledas. They are people that became Tameh. They have to undergo a complex process to become Tahor. They have to wait 7 days. But maybe, Effie, that'd be one of the kinds of cases. They wait 7 days to go to the mikvah. They wait 40 days or 80 days and go to the mikvah and wait for nightfall. They have to bring karbanos to enter into the base of Mikdash. They have to bring karbanos in order to be able to eat kachim. What's their status? So the Rambam says they're still somewhat Tameh until they bring karbanos. We wonder why they bring the carbon, what's the goal and function of the carbon. So we saw in the house number one, the kachim is brought. The kachim are brought in order to purify you, Either it's like a primary part, you're really like fully Tameh until you bring this carbon which purifies you, or you're not really Tameh, you're mostly already Tahor, but it's like the last step. We saw another mahal, which is, the Brisker Rav has this, the Salvechik has this, which is part of the reason why you bring this karban. It's a chiyav incumbent upon you, which means that even if you don't want to go eat kachim, even if you don't want to enter the Beis HaMikdash, you may still be chayav to bring this karban, because there is a chiyav incumbent upon you to come along and bring it. A chiyav incumbent upon you to come along and bring it. I want to make a quick ha'ara. And then I'll mention maybe a thought about a potential additional mahalach. One ha'ara to think is intriguing. Rashi says that these people are bringing a chatas, but the chatas is not brought for a sin. It's brought to let them eat kachim. How does it let them eat kachim? Because it purifies them. This goes back to a yisod that we had when we spoke in the beginning of the Shi'ur and about Karban Chatas. Where we pointed out that Karban Chatas, typically we assume, is brought Chatas, Milashon Chet. It's brought for a sin. But if you remember, we pointed out that Chatas, there's a lot of evidence, may really be brought Chatas, Milashon Chitoy. It's brought as a means of purifying, to sterilize, to purify. If that's true, the karbanos of the mechusre kapara, their chatases, are awesome for this yesod. This is a chatas brought to purify, and it may even be, with Michal Feinstein for Rashi and Zvachim, like just like it's like a mikvah. Mikvah and these karbanos are the two steps in purifying. Azav, azava, mitzori yoledes. If that is true, and maybe it's a good raya for the idea that chatas is more about purifying than classic kapara. Which, by the way, to point out, I find to be so inspiring and so awesome. Because when we mess up and we sin, it's not about getting forgiveness or atonement. The Torah is giving us a track for purification. That will also mimela take care and ensure kapara. But the real way it does, not by forgiving you, but by purifying you and elevating you and removing any remnants of tumah. That's at least what I would add on to that mahalach a little bit. There is a third potential idea. I imagine some of us were thinking about it a little bit. I didn't even say this because it's against Rashi, but I think it's worthy of at least, I want to throw it out there. I want to throw it out there. And you'll see Rashi and Chumash maybe and some others, many of us may have thought about this a bit, which is as follows. Aren't they still called Mechusrei Kapara? Doesn't it sound like you're bringing these karbanos because they need kapara? So it's true, Rashi says no. And the Shita Kol Tovos is saying no. It's true. But I wonder if at minimum there are some deyas in Chazal that would argue with that. Because we know it's possible the chatas of the Yoledes is brought, why? So one day in the Gemara, because a woman, when she gives birth, she takes a shrua, never again will I ever go through this. She takes a shrua, which is an inappropriate shrua, and maybe she does require, at least for some days in Chazal, a bit of kapara. A mitzora, Gemara is the Meseches Erchin. A mitzora may have also sinned. A mitzora speaks Lashon Hara. It says in the Gemara Erchin, for seven sins, I think, you get tarat, but the most famous one is Lashon Hara. Zav and Zava are a bit trickier, which is probably what motivates Rashi and the like. Rashi and the like is probably a little bit trickier to explain. But at minimum, I wonder if anyone out there would say that these karbanos are not unique karbanos that help you achieve tahara, nor are they karbanos that are just chiyuvim. You have a din, the Torah taught us, you're chayav to bring a karban. But I wonder if there's a mahalach out there which says that at least some of these karbanos are also brought on some level for at least a bit of kapara. If that's true, or, again, I'm just theorizing, but that some of them, maybe Yoledes and Mitzora are brought for a kapara, but Zav and Zava maybe aren't brought for the same kind of a kapara. So maybe now I get a little bit more insight into why the Rambam may have counted them separately. Because they're really, on some level, maybe, have slightly different functions. That even if they're all primarily about purifying, or primarily chiyuvim, maybe for the Yoledes, or for the Mitzora, there's an element of kapara also. There's an element of atonement. And if that's true, so Rambam may have said, the fact that they are different karbanos is migala, they're really a little bit different. And if they're really a little bit different, maybe that's why I should count them as being arba mechusrei kapara for different mitzvos. David, that's an awesome question. Which is even according to the Rambam, puts in brackets, if you're really counting them separately, why are Zav and Zava counted separately? The Gemara has a question, why are Mitzora and a female Mitzora counted separately? But Zav and Zava, the mitzvahs hamelech, if we're as Velvel is here with us today and we're channeling our inner Chicago. The Mitzvah of the Melech has a Torah about that Zav and Zava. There is a general issue. I'll see if I can forward you a shiur for interest from years ago. When we learned on a Thursday night, Hakdamah Taros, the relationship between Zav and Zava and just how different or similar they may really be. again, zava, woman, it's the same blood at the wrong time. Zav is a different kind of a liquid coming out, you know, at maybe an unexpected time. But there are some more fundamental shilas, how much are really one or two? But it's a very, very fair, a very, very fair question. Yeah, Avi, it's a good question. We have to understand why it's not. Effie, it totally may be. Avi, we have to understand why exactly. It all relates to the Nazir not being on the list, which is not for now, but is really important also for all of that. So we spoke today a little bit about Mechusrei Kapara. Again, if you just take stock for a second, we've learned about, again, these people who are were Tame, and these, all this stuff is in Psukim even, these, you know, it's Mitzorah, Shmini, there are a lot of these discussions about Saras and Zav and Zava, Yoledes, begin Parstazria, again, Tarjim, Mitzorah, these are really important sugyas. But some of what we see right now is that in the purification process, Tahara process, they bring a carbon. The carbon seems to be important for them to be fully Tahar. If it's really that they have to be fully tahor, what role it plays in the tahor process? Does the carbon do additional things above and beyond that? These are all, I think, pretty yisodistic and important questions about the nature of mechusrei kapara.